From the Thinking Out Loud studios, it's the Thinking Out Loud podcast with Kevin and Kyle, the podcast that exists to help you navigate the culture of today from a biblical perspective
and to help you grow in your relationship with God.
God has commissioned and called you to be a light in this culture. The only way you can do that is to know the truth.
No matter what circumstance you're facing, no matter what season of life that you're in, if you truly want to find success in that season,
you are going to have to go back to the simple question of, what does God say about me in this moment?
There's no shortage of information in this culture, but there is a shortage of truth.
Welcome back to the Thinking Out Loud podcast. My name is Kevin Wilson, and I am very happy to be back with you again for this episode this week. And we've just been having a really good time on this journey that we've been going on to sanctification. And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. And if this is your 95th time, or how many ever episodes we're at this point, thank you so much for being here with us every time we're on. And I'll tell you right now, this is a labor of love. I just love coming into the studio and being with you guys every single week. And just want to say, none of this would be possible without our donors. And so I just want to tell all of our donors, thank you so much for donating every month so that people that are just like you all over the world can listen. And if you want to be a part of that, you can certainly do that. You can reach out to us, or you can look in the show notes of this episode and you should be able to click the PayPal link there, and it will take you directly to PayPal. You can do a one-time gift, or you can sign up for monthly donations, and that would be something that would be greatly appreciated. Don't forget, our phone number is 248-301-2010. Again, that number is 248-301-2010. You can text that number. You can also call that number and leave us a voicemail, whether you have show topic suggestions, you have questions, you have prayer requests, anything. You say, Kev, I've got something going on in my life right now. I just need somebody to agree with me in prayer. I just need some prayer warriors, and we would be more than happy. Those of us here would love to pray with you and for you. So don't hesitate. Give us a text. Give us a call, 248-301-2010, and we'd love to do that for you. So, man, what an awesome, as I was saying earlier, journey that we've been on these last few weeks. And this actually is going to be the last episode in this series of sanctification. We are going to have some new, fresh episodes, some fresh topics that will be coming your way. I'm really excited about that. I actually was talking to Kyle just yesterday, and he is excited. We are getting closer and closer to his return to the show, and we were just talking about some future things, and we've got some pretty cool things that are lined up for the show. I've got kind of a big announcement that's going to be coming up fairly soon, hopefully. We're just in the early stages of it, and so I can't let the cat out the bag. I'll have some people kind of upset at me if I did that. Just want you to know, we're always working on things in the background. And so I just excited for what's in store. And again, thanks so much for being here every week. So let's go diving right in. We're going to dive in today. And this episode is really, it's one of the most important. All of them, I think, is important. If this is your first time listening to this series, I would really urge you to go back and listen to the first episode and then listen to these in order, because it's a progression that we're doing here of episodes. And the first episode is Sanctification, the Life You've Always Wanted. And so make sure you listen to that episode and then the ones after that. I really think that it'll help you, because today is this culmination of all the things that we've talked about, but specifically zeroing in on legalism and how you can be free from this legalistic mindset or legalistic life. Because a lot of times, legalism comes when we have a wrong view of sanctification and how sanctification works in our lives. And so I think it's really important. I think there are some of you that will listen to some of the things that I say today, and I'm going to be very specific. I'm going to be very practical on a lot of the things that I say, and I always understand everything that I say, I'm saying it out of a heart of love. I'm saying it out of a heart of, I just want people to know the truth. And you might say, Kev, you seem to be so addicted to truth, right? You know, and or in theology, but you have to understand that I grew up in a denomination that was very, very strict. I grew up in a denomination called the UPCI. That's United Pentecostal Church International. They have a lot of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and, you know, under the guides of sanctification. And it wasn't until that I was a grown-up that I understood really what sanctification actually was, because I was told that it was what you wear and how you look and all of these things. And we'll get into some of those things that I'm sure that you've probably dealt with as well. And you've wondered, or you have friends that are in some of these circles of churches and denominations, and they will say things like, well, we're sanctified, we're set apart, that's why we don't do this, go here, watch that, do, you know, all the things. And some of those, most of those people are just simply misled. I just want to urge you, it is so important that you read the Bible for yourself. It doesn't matter who it is, including this show. And I know some of you are like, oh, but Kevin, we love you and we love you and Kyle. That's why we listen to all the episodes. And, you know, I feel like we know you guys. And that's great. And that's the kind of feel that we want. We want you to be able to feel like you're part of the family. But just because somebody sounds sincere, just because somebody is emphatic about something, does not mean that they're right. There are people that are very well-intentioned, but they're wrong. There are people who are the sweetest, most kindest people in the world, but they are simply misled. And you can be misled by anybody. You can be misled by your favorite podcast host. You can be misled by a pastor, your parents, your grandparents. I mean, there are so many people. Why? Because most people, when they espouse things, don't think that they're wrong. That's why they espouse certain things. Now, there are some crooks out there who truly, they know what they're saying is garbage, but they continue to espouse it anyway. So don't get me wrong. I understand that there's those people out there, but the way that you understand what truth really is reading the Bible for yourself. Everything that we say on this podcast, all the opinions and things that we have, you need to back that stuff up. And we do everything that we can to back up what we say. And you're going to see that today with scripture. But you need to read that scripture for yourself. Don't let me just be the final arbiter of truth. You check what we're saying as well. It's the same thing when you're sitting in church. I'll tell you right now, I absolutely adore my pastor. I love him. I don't even think he understands how much that I truly, he's just great. There's a lot of good pastors out there, but I tell you right now, there is a shortage of people who are great communicators and is balanced in their theology. They're not way on one side, extreme on one side or the other. And I feel like that he's very balanced. Now, even with that, I don't show up to church on Sunday morning and clean my brains out before I walk through the door. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to what is being said and I'm absorbing what's being said. But I'll tell you right now, I am always judging everything by the Word of God, not my own theological ideas and points and all of that, but by what the Word of God actually says. That's what I should do, because otherwise I would be deceived. And just a kind of an example for you guys is the FBI. The FBI has to be trained to detect fake counterfeit money, because there's whole industries out there where people are creating and printing fake money. It just like they do fake purses and watches and all of these knockoffs, all of that stuff. And the government, they need to make sure that this stuff is not funneling through our system and our banks and different things like this. But guess how they train them? They do not train them by looking at a bunch of counterfeit $20 bills, $100 bills, what have you, because you would think they need to spot a counterfeit. They need to study the counterfeit to really find out and understand what a counterfeit, all the details of a counterfeit. So when they see one, they'll recognize it right away. But that's not how they train them. They actually train them to know every component of a real $20 bill or $100 bill. They train them to know what the real looks like so well that any moment that a fake $20 bill or $100 bill, whatever, comes across, they immediately know what it is. They don't train them on the fake. They train them on the real. And that's exactly how you need to be when it comes to anybody that you listen to, whether you're watching somebody on television, whether you're listening to somebody on a podcast or your favorite radio host or anything like that. Point is not to study all the fake and know what all the fake is. The goal should be to know the Bible so well that the moment that somebody's in error, you can spot it. Guys, I tell you right now, you will be more comfortable as you're listening to things because there are some things that it's not all bad. There's just some things, it's like, that's a little off. You eat the apple and spit out the seeds. But you want to make sure that the majority of what you're listening to, all of it if you can, all of what you're listening to are things that is biblically sound. Reason why I give that caveat of, you know, some things, not maybe everything, is because there is no way that everybody you listen to is going to be 100% right on all the things. They're just not. But the goal is that you know enough of the Word of God so that you are not led astray, okay? And so always remember that. That's something that's so important to me because I had to learn that. And, you know, when I actually started reading the Bible for myself, it blew my mind because the God that I thought he was, that's not the God that he was. The things that I learned was important to him is not the things that are important to him. And some of them are just flat out wrong. And again, it's no fault of my parents necessarily or anything like that. I mean, listen, I would not have been a Christian. Had my parents not raised me in a Christian home, I would not have been a Christian. I am eternally, eternally grateful for that. Now, here's the problem, though. You are a product of your environment. You're a product of what you listen to, what you absorb, all of that. And we, as a family, my grandfather was a bishop and my dad was a pastor. We grew up in these denominations that were, some people call them apostolic, right? And you wear your hair, the ladies wear their hair in the buns and they wear long dresses. They don't wear pants. They don't wear makeup, no jewelry. I didn't grow up with a TV, all of these things. We didn't go to the baseball game. We didn't do all of these things. But a lot of those things were under the guise of sanctification. And again, I was just misled, just simply misled. But what happens is when we blindly follow people in their interpretation of what they think the Bible is saying, rather than what the Bible actually says. Now, remember, guys, when you stand before God, you're going to stand before God alone. I'm not going to be there to go, hey, you know, God, he's with me, you know. It was my fault that he thought this or he whatever. Sorry, just look over that, right? No, that's not how it works. We're all going to be judged based on what the Bible actually says, not how we interpreted the Bible, what the Bible actually says. Paul told Timothy, rightly divide the word. Handle the truth and the word of God correctly. And a lot of that has to do with us studying and getting our concordance out and Bible dictionaries and commentaries and things like that and really digging in to the Word of God. And it's so, so important. And so I say all that to just set the groundwork for some of the things that I'm going to say today. And so I want to jump into freedom from legalism. And we've talked a lot about what sanctification is. But today I really want to delve into what sanctification is not, because there's a lot of stuff out there that people are putting under the umbrella of sanctification and has absolutely nothing to do with sanctification. So the first thing that we want to look at is sanctification is not perfection. Sanctification is not perfection. There is no way that you will ever fully be perfected this side of heaven. The only person who has ever walked this planet and has been 100% perfect is Jesus Christ himself. And the last time I checked, you will never be Jesus. There's only one Savior. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he rose again, and he's going to come again one day to take us back to heaven. He is the only one. So sanctification is not this sense of, well, I'm going to get to perfection, because we won't on this side of heaven. I have met some people, and I think this is important, because I've met some people who believe that you can be sinless, that you can get to a point in your sanctification journey that somehow you won't sin again. You just will never get to this place where you'll sin again. That is just false. And you're going to see here in just a second, we're going to back that up by scripture. Maybe you've never heard somebody say that before, but it is way more prominent than what you think it is. I've ran into people this way. There are people on YouTube and podcasts and all kinds of media who talk about that you can get to this place in God where you don't sin, you know, because they say, well, but you don't have to sin. Well, no, we don't have to, but we do. Why? Because we are still in fleshly bodies. Our soul is saved and we're justified, which is we've been made right with God through justification. But the process of sanctification is a lifelong process. There is never going to be a time or a day that you're going to go through and you're going to come to this place where you have hit the pinnacle and you just won't sin anymore. It just won't happen. And I know it. Look, we're not saying that we're defeated. We are the righteousness of God. We are putting on the mind of Christ. We're going to go through some scriptures here. There's so many things that God has given us, the chief one being the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us, so that we don't practice sin. That's one of the awesome things about the Holy Spirit, is when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you don't want to do the things that you used to. You don't want to practice sin. But this idea that you'll be sinless is just simply not true. And let's look at what the Bible actually says about this. So 1 John 1:8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I mean, like, it's like the Bible dropping the mic right there. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. What about what James 5:16 says? Now, this is another scripture. And again, it's about what scripture says, not about what man says. Let's look at the raw scripture. Therefore, this is James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Right? We just poked another hole in this idea that sanctification is perfection and somehow you will get to this point where you can be sinless, because it doesn't make sense for James to talk to the church, because this is James is talking to Christian people. He was talking to people who were saved. And he said, therefore, confess your sins to each other, or in other words, be accountable to each other. Have you ever heard in your small group or in your church, they say you should seek out an accountability partner? Why? Why do we seek out an accountability partner? If we couldn't sin and we could be perfect, we would need that. We wouldn't need that. But because sometimes we fall, sometimes we make a mistake, sometimes we struggle in an area or areas of our lives, James is saying, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So, sanctification is not perfection. Sanctification is not perfection. Let's look at our second point. Sanctification is also not self-help. There is a huge industry out there. I mean, so many books are written about self-help, how to be a better communicator, how to love yourself more, how to treat others. All of these things, all these books are out. And listen, there is nothing wrong with those books in and of themselves. I've said this to you before, but I work in the corporate world. I'm an HRBP. And I'm sure there's some people going, what in the world is that? You have to Google it. I don't have time to talk about it here on the show today. But in my profession, we are trained a lot. Why? Because we work so much with people and people relations, all of those type of things. And so over the years, I have had a ridiculous amount of training. Why? Well, I had all my training for the ministry. And then on top of that, being in the corporate world on the business side, there's a lot of leadership training, a lot of books and podcasts and webinars and traveling for training and all of these type of things. And it's really cool. And I'm so blessed to work at a company that invests lots of money into training its employees. It's crazy. And it's such a blessing. But here's what I want you to understand, guys, is that even with all of that self-help, making myself, quote, better, pales in comparison to God's leadership training, to God's training on making you better. Because sanctification and self-help is not even in the same stratosphere. Remember we talked a few episodes ago and we talked about self-esteem, and I said, self-esteem, that's not a thing. Trying to feel better about yourself, it's impossible. You'll never be as satisfied as you would want to be with yourself. Even when you think you are, you're still not there. The only place to get that is to have godly esteem, to see yourself the way God sees you. Well, it's the same thing with self-help and sanctification. One of the things that my pastor says that I love, he says this a lot. He goes, if we were the answer to our own problems, we would have already fixed ourselves. And that's so true. If we were the answer, but we're not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And so when we look at sanctification, basically what's happening is this is God's process of making you more like him, not making you a better you. It's not making you a better you. See, self-help, again, that word self, focuses on you. But in sanctification, it flips and the focus is on Christ. So you become more like him, not a better version of yourself. Big difference. Big, big, big difference. So if you're on this train of, I've got to be better, I'm going to get this book and I'm going to go to this webinar and seminar and do this and do that, and you're just spinning your wheels, so to speak, maybe, just maybe, you need to tap into this whole sanctification. Maybe you need to say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes and my ears up to what I need to see and hear and understand about sanctification. Because more than anything, this, I promise you, is the life that you've always wanted. Again, don't get me wrong. Listen, God has gifted people. Two people that come to mind that I've read their books and just a lot of things I've studied with them John Maxwell on leadership. There is no person, in my opinion, on this planet that could probably really speak to leadership better than John Maxwell. Unbelievable, his career. And then I think about Patrick Lencioni. Yeah, he's another person who has just done a fantastic job when it comes to leadership and organizations and how people should work together. He wrote the book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and I believe he wrote Ideal Team Player. And these are a lot of books we read in the corporate world, but these things could be applicable to anywhere. And as good as those books are, and that's what I'm saying, it's not that those books are bad. Please, if you are in leadership or you're trying to, there's nothing wrong with those books in and of themselves. So that's not what I'm saying. What you have to understand, though, is if you truly want to be this person that you know you can be, the only way that happens is through the process of sanctification. That is the process that God has designed to make you more like Him. And when the world sees that, that is what they're going to be attracted to. They're not going to be attracted to a better you. No. They're going to be attracted to Christ. Because anybody can read a book and throw some practices together and try to be better. But it's a totally different thing when you look more like Christ. It's a totally different thing. And so growth is good. We should have personal growth. Life coaches, these are great people. Counselors, all of that. Therapists, these are people who God has blessed to have the ability and have the wherewithal to be able to help you to get to that next step or get to that next place in life. And so we don't want to minimize that, but we always want to make sure that we're not trying to better ourselves without Christ in the mix. He's the ultimate teacher. He's the ultimate life coach. I think that's so, so, so important. One of the things sanctification does, it aligns our will with the will of God. You begin to see people totally different. We've talked about this before. And you're like, man, I gotta be more of a people person. I'm just not a people person. And I gotta read books. I gotta figure it out. I gotta not be so introverted or whatever. I promise you, allow the Holy Spirit to let you go through this process of sanctification. You will begin to see people in a totally different light than what you see them in today. I promise you that, because that's what happened within my life. If you would have met me over 20 years ago, not the same guy. I never knew that I would adore people as much. I absolutely adore human beings. I do. That's why I'm in the ministry. That's why I'm in HR. I just love humans. I just do, because I see their immense value. I see their worth. But I didn't see that over 20 years ago. I just didn't. Why? Because I wasn't seeing through the eyes of God. I was seeing through my own fleshly, carnal, finite lens. Let's talk about the third thing that I've got down here. Sanctification is not a way for God to love you more. This one really gets me. This one really gets me, because this one is the one that it hurts. This one hurts, because there are so many people out there who believe that if they could just do everything right, they could just do enough good works, if they could just wear enough long dresses or put enough jewelry, take enough jewelry off or not wear makeup or never cut their hair or not go into dark places. When I say dark places, what they deem as dark places. I can't go skating because they play worldly music. I can't go to the ball game because people are drinking beer around me and getting drunk and throwing things and whatever. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't normally happen, right? I've been to plenty sporting events, right? You get people a little crazy, but you know what I'm saying? But these are the things sometimes that people who grow up in these type of churches and denominate, that's what they think. Well, if I go there, I'm going to become like them. And that's just simply not the truth. The Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. Go to the baseball game, sit down, have a glass of Coke, get your hot dog, listen to the national anthem, stand, you know, when the national anthem is going, enjoy laughter and people and kids catching the baseball, right, for the first time. God has given you all of these things to enjoy. These are things that fills our life with joy and excitement. But if we look at that and go, well, I can't go there. Well, I can't. But if I go there, I'm going to be contaminated by the world. The only way you're going to get contaminated by the world is if you all of a sudden, because you're there, start acting like the world. You start getting drunk and you started doing, I mean, all of these things that's just not, right? But that's not a thing, guys. And I'll get more into this. You'll understand why I'm saying that stuff in just a minute here. But sanctification is not a way for God to love you more. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. God can't love you more than how much he loves you right now. He can't love you more than he loves you right now. And you're listening to this and you might say, Kevin, you just don't understand what I've done and you don't understand what I'm doing and you don't understand that I fall and I have these failures and my marriage is not good and I'm not good with my finances and I don't do everything right and I've got this addiction and I... Listen to me. What does that have to do with God's love? Think about your children. You know, if you are a normal parent, is there anything that your kid could do to make you not love them? I mean, just think about it. They don't always do what you want them to do. There's times they tell little fibs. There are times that they do really, really stupid things. And you're like, I cannot believe that human over there has my last name. When your kids are little, they go out and they embarrass you because they say things and they're just not, they're oblivious to the fact that they should not be saying that and they could just completely embarrass you. You ever had that? It's not the kids' way. They don't get it. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I literally just want to blend in with the wallpaper right now. But you don't hate them. You don't hate them. Yeah, you might scold them. You might get after them. You might say, hey, you know, hey, Peyton, why don't you settle down? Don't do that when we're out. Or, hey, don't act like a monkey when we're out. Don't going all over the place, hanging off the rafters, doing all crazy stuff. No, don't do that. Oh, I know it's not your kids. Not your kid. You don't have any issues like that with your kids. I'm sorry. That's just my kid. Right? But and thank God my kids are older now, so I don't have to worry about stuff like that. They're good. They're good kids. But still, does that mean that somehow you don't love them? Of course you do. Well, it's the same way in times a billion that God, that's how he looks at you. It's impossible for you to love more than God loves. You can't love your child more than God loves your child. It's impossible. Because God, the very essence of who God is, the Bible says God is love. We love, but we are not love. We espouse love or we give love, but we're not love. But God is actually love. So there is no way that you can love your child more than God loves your child. So you can't turn that around and say, well, but God, no. God loves you. Yes, you. Yep, you listening to me right now that feels like you just outsinned the grace of God. Let me read you some scripture on that. John 3:16, this scripture is overused, right? And it's not knocking the scripture, because the scripture is powerful. The scripture in and of itself is powerful. But when I say that it's overused, what I'm saying is we have desensitized ourselves to the importance and the gravity and the weight of these scriptures, because they're on coffee mugs and you see John 3:16 at games and you see them on plaques and wall hangings and all the things. You see all of that. And so it just becomes like a little saying. But guys, this is the word of God, and the word of God and the words that is in the word of God, words matter. Listen to what John 3:16 and 17 says. For God so loved the world. Are you in the world? All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, last time I checked, whoever includes you, believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son, to send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So again, you're not excluded from this scripture. So if God loves the world, he loves you. Let's read Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. I'm giving you some scripture here. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Oh boy. When the Pharisees saw this, Pharisees, anytime you see Pharisees, Sadducees, always know that their trouble's coming. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick." See, you might be listening to me right now and feeling like, "Well, Kevin, I just don't do enough good deeds." And what happens is, once you get saved and you start going through this process of sanctification, you think sanctification has everything to do with you just doing more for God and being a better person or doing all, and it's works-based. It's not works-based. Now, God wants you to be more like him because, one, it's going to help you out tremendously, and it's going to bleed over to all the people around you. But he's not going to love you less because you are slower in your sanctification process, or you're not up to par, whatever the case may be. It just doesn't work that way. So free yourself from that today. Like, literally take those chains off of you, because those are not chains that God put on you. Those are chains that you put on yourself. Maybe you had to work so much for your dad. Maybe you had to work so much for your mom, you never felt like you were good enough. Maybe you, like, all of these things that may have been going on in your life. Listen, that's not God, though. The Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But I love that part. His ways are not our ways. So whatever your dad's ways were and your mom's ways were, not like God. Could even have been Christians, and they still didn't make the decisions that God would have made in some instances. He's different. Why? Because he's God. So don't tell him how much he loves you. Let him tell you how much he loves you. Sanctification is not a way for God to love you more. One of the reasons is because it's impossible for sanctification to make him love us more. Why? Because he first loved us. But he, the scripture says, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's what it says. And then 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. That's why we love, because he first loved us. All right, let's look at number 4 that I have down here. Sanctification is not a set of rules to follow. Sanctification is not a set of rules to follow. Now, this is where it gets practical. This is where it gets into the nitty-gritty. Because if you had any similar upbringing to what I had, or you have friends or family members who are in churches, and I'm not trying to, listen, there's a lot of amazing people who are in the denomination that we were in when I was growing up, because the denomination is still going strong. They're large. And I love, and some of them probably listen to the show, and I love them. Again, these are nice. They're good people. These are people who mean right, a lot of them. They're just misled. Not in everything. In my humble opinion, this is kind of a big one. When you distort what sanctification actually is, see, truth not only affects how you think, truth affects how you live. So if you don't know the truth, you're not going to live right. And you think that you're doing something right when actually you're doing something wrong, and it's more harmful than it is good. And one of the areas where I really believe some denominations get off, I think about, like I say, the UPCI that I grew up in. I think about people in the apostolic movement. I'm not talking about apostolic in the sense of the fivefold ministry gifts. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about these apostolic denominations that focus on the externals a lot. Here's the problem with that. And when I say externals, it's how you look, how you dress, what you watch, what you don't watch, where you go, how you know, all of those kind of things. When you focus on those things and put that under the umbrella of sanctification, the problem is you completely miss what sanctification actually is. You're being set apart to Christ. But here's the thing. That is an inside work. It's not an outside work. Sometimes, and we're going to get to that. I mean, we're going to get real practical here in a second. Sometimes it works its way on the outside, and we'll talk about that in a second. But sanctification at its core is an inside work. You can't take off enough makeup to be sanctified. You can't cut your hair short enough, men, or not wear a beard, because that's another thing that some of these churches do. I think about people like Geno Jennings. This guy is wildly popular, and I've listened to an untold amount of hours of his sermons. I actually went and saw him. He came to Michigan, and I actually went live and saw him. Now, don't get me wrong. Not everything he says is wrong. There's a lot of good things that he says, but then there's some things is just complete error. And so it's really important, but I listen to him and watch him and go sometimes to go see him for research purposes, because I never wanted to be one of those people who talks about somebody or talks about something and I've never even heard him before. Or I've heard just a little clip of something and then I just do this hour rant about this person. Well, that's just not fair. I need to be intimately involved and understand truly what this person is actually saying for myself before I render any opinions or things like that. And especially having a show like this, I try to be very careful of that. There are things that I've been studying for years that I have not talked about on this show yet, but we will in the future. We will coming up and most likely this year. But I want to be very sure before I get on the air to all these people all over the country and in other countries and espouse certain things. I want to be very careful that I know what I'm talking about. But I look at people like Geno Jennings, and he's got a huge following. I mean, literally all over the world. I look at some of you that don't know him, probably going to look him up now and be like, whoa, this guy is outrageous, because he is on some things. But that's how I grew up. It's a clothesline preacher. Let me stick on what I'm on right now. We'll get to that in a second. But sanctification is not a set of rules to follow. Isaiah, I love this scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 64 and 6. You know what that scripture says? And the reason why I'm reading this scripture, because it goes with this. Because somehow in the back of our minds, it's not overt. And I don't think we think we're doing this. We don't know that we're doing this sometimes. But it's almost like, if I do these external things, then I can make myself more righteous. That's not a thing. Because Isaiah, and this is why some of these scriptures are in here, Isaiah 64 and 6, it says, our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. So I'm going to get a little crude here, so please don't fall off your chair. But I want you to understand what the Hebrew language, if you look at this in the Hebrew, what it actually means when it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. Those two words, filthy rags, it literally means that our righteousness is like menstrual rag, menstrual, disgusting, smelly, bleh, rag. I'm not trying to be intentionally ridiculous here. That's literally what it's like. Literally, look up the Hebrew. So you are right. There is nothing that we can do as a person that will ever get us to a place where we're going to be what God has done in our lives. There's just no way. You can't be righteous on your own. You can't wear enough long dresses. You can't let your hair grow out long enough to be righteous. And I know I'm using, you know, women as an example, because a lot of churches that are legalistic this way, it's the women are the ones that suffer the most. Because guys, I mean, we don't really have anything. We just kind of throw on some jeans and a hoodie and some gym shoes and go out the door. It is what it is. So there are some things, though, Some of these denominations don't allow people to have beards and different things like that. But a lot of times when sanctification is taught wrong, it is a hyper focus on the external things. But what happens is when you hyper focus on what people are wearing, what people are watching, where people go, and all of this other type of stuff, the problem is it takes the focus off the Holy Spirit and it puts the focus on you and what you're doing, your pastor, and your denomination. Because a lot of times what happens in these, the fruit that comes out of this type of thing, and if you've ever been in this, you know what I'm talking about. The fruit, one of the fruits is judgmentalism. You go out to the mall, and if you're part of one of these churches, you go out into the mall, and you just feel so bad for the people in the mall. You feel so bad for those other churches that just don't know the truth. They haven't come up all the way to the truth. So you look at those ladies that are wearing pants, and you just go, oh, my prayers, they just come to the truth. What truth? What truth is, like, exactly what truth do they need to come to? These are man-made prescriptions. I remember one time I was talking to my parents, and I would challenge them over the years. I've challenged them in a respectful way because my dad was a pastor. I'm like, hey, you know, and I had become a pastor, and I'm like, listen, I know the word. Oh, you know what I mean? Not that I'm perfect at theology or anything like that, but I had studied the word for myself. And so I would ask my mom and dad, I said, one of the questions that I would ask them, my dad has since passed away, but I would ask him, I would say, because they would wear watches. There was a point that they took off their wedding rings because they said wedding rings were pagan and all of this. And, you know, and I'd see women like checking out my dad and I'm thinking, why are they? But my dad didn't have a wedding ring on. So how would they even know that he was married? But then what I would ask him, I would say, hey, guys, when you go and get your watches, right now, my dad, we used to go watch shopping sometimes. My dad would get a new watch and I would love it. And those of you that know me personally know that I'm a watch collector. And so I have a lot of nice timepieces. I invest money into really nice watches and I love that. I just absolutely love it. But I would ask my parents, I would say, so those watches you're wearing, what department do you get those watches from? And they would say, well, the jewelry department or the watch department. Sometimes they'll say the watch department because I think they knew where I was going with this. And I would say, well, where is the watch department at? Like, they don't just have a watch department. Like, where are the watches? Right? Oh, in the jewelry case. Oh, okay. Well, so you realize that that's like a piece of jewelry because you're wearing a watch. Like, this is, oh, no, but we have to wear this because we need to tell time. No, you don't. And I would say to them, no, you actually don't need to do that. You can actually get a pocket watch or something else. You don't have to have a watch. But see, here's the issue with man-made things. Everything is wrong until the thing that you feel like you need, and then all of a sudden, that particular thing is not wrong. See how that works? So you see how that works? And I've watched this denomination over the years. Things that they said 20 years ago was wrong and a sin, and you go to hell. If you look at some of those things today, those people are doing it. It was unheard of 25, 30 years ago for somebody in the United Pentecostal Church International to have a television. It was just unheard of. Most families didn't. Most families would have never had a computer in their home. There are just so many things they wouldn't have done. But now they're on social media, they have computers, they have televisions, they're broadcasting live, they're doing all of this. Why? Why? See, again, we can't add to the Word of God. And we're going to talk just here in just a second. And I'm going just a little bit long today, probably, but just we need to flush this out because I believe that there are people who truly need freedom from bondage. There are people who need freedom from systems that are not biblical. And you might say, well, Kevin, you just want to go out there and do this, do that. And yeah, listen, guys. Listen, I am still very conservative. I'm probably more conservative than a lot of people are with a lot of things. And it's not because I think that I can't do it. It's just that I know sometimes what it can cause with other people. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a second. But one of the fruits of that comes out of here is judgmentalism. Looking at other people and feeling like they're less than or they're just not up to the truth. And look at how I can't believe she's over there wearing those britches. I can't believe he's got that beard, all that hair on his face. He needs to shave that. What? But these are the type of things that we do. And now a lot of people would say, you know what? But Kevin, I'm not judgmental like that. And you know what? If you're not, God bless you. God bless you. But I will tell you, there are a lot of people in denominations like that, that they wouldn't call it judgmentalism. They would just call it, they just see things differently than the other person sees things. But I'm telling you, check your heart. Check your heart. Not everybody, but check your heart. Another thing that comes out of the fruit of this is a shunning. If you're not a part of, sometimes if you're in these circles, and I'm picking on UPCI, there's other denominations that are like this. Some of the fundamental Baptists, think about people like the Duggars, right? 19 kids and counting, which we're in talks with Ginger, one of their daughters, came out with a book just recently, and we're actually in talks with them about her coming on the show. But I think right now she's such on a media circus that she's not able to come on right now, but they're going to send us a book and they want us to review it on the show and all of that. HarperCollins is the book publisher. And so we were in talks with them. And so we are going to probably do somewhat of a review at some point. If we can't get her on the show soon enough, we'll probably do a review of that. But, you know, the Duggars, they had that television show on TLC. So there are some other denominations like Fundamental Baptists, Bill Gothard, which that's a whole other thing with this, with that guy. We don't, can't get into that today, but these are denominations that they're just misled. That's all I can say. They are just misled. But the shunning comes. If you were in some of these denominations and you decide to step out and go somewhere else, all of a sudden, people don't talk to you no more. People start saying things, well, I can't have my kids around you because you're a bad influence. I'm sorry, what? Because I don't wear a dress? A woman? Well, because I don't wear a dress. I wear pants. But if you're next to me, somehow you're going to, you like it's catchy, right? Like, no. That's simply not biblical. That's just not how that works. That's not sanctification. And understand, guys, the reason why I'm bringing this stuff up is because this is put under the umbrella of sanctification, not because somebody just wants to wear a dress. If you want to wear a dress every day of your life, wear a dress as long as you're a woman. I want to make sure that's clear. If you're a man and you don't want to wear a beard, you want to be clean shaven and all that for the rest of your life, please do so. But don't then get up and tell people that by the scriptures and based on sanctification, that's what you should do. In order for you to be set apart, you need to do this and you need to do that. That's just not how sanctification works. And that's what grieves me, because so many people are missing the beauty of what sanctification actually is in their heart. When God could be doing stuff in their heart, they're more focused on the stuff on the outside. And they're not even focused on what's going on in their heart. That's the place where God is. That's the place where God wants to work. He doesn't care, so to speak, about whether you're wearing jeans or not. That's not what God cares about. He's after your heart. He didn't die for your clothes. He died for your salvation, your heart, your soul. Another thing that comes out as a fruit of this type of thing is, a lot of times you'll notice is these churches will go down this road with misled theology. They'll say things like, you must speak in tongues to be saved, even though the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. They'll use Acts 2:38. And Acts 2:38 says, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the King Jimmy version, the King James version. They're also King James only. You know, they'll say, well, but if you're not reading the King James version, that's legalism. If you're not reading the King James version, that you're not reading the right Bible. Not understanding and not taking in the fact that King James was a dude in history. He was not King James Christ. He's not King Jesus. He's King James. And I'm not trying to be naughty or snide when I say this, but guys, it hurts me when whole denominations are causing people to believe things that are just simply not biblical. Well, we got to be set up, but we can't be reading all these new translations. Now, there are some translations, and we've talked about this before, they're paraphrases, they're not translations. So there are certain things that you should not read. But King James Version, King James Version only, understand, that from the earliest versions of the King James Version to today, there's 24,000 variations in those translations. So please don't tell me that it's King James only. But these are some of the things that they do. You should only read the King James Version Bible. You can only, you know, all of these things. And then they'll say you must speak in tongues to be saved. Also have to be baptized in Jesus' name. And if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, then you haven't been truly baptized. Because if you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are not baptized. They play a semantics game. Well, but you know, it's a Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, but what's his name? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has a name. Well, his name is Jesus, and everybody knows that. So whether you say the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whether you say Jesus, and Geno Jennings even goes to the point of saying you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you just baptize in the name of Jesus, you're still not baptized correctly, and it doesn't count. And they say you have to be baptized to be saved. Then you have to understand, what about the thief on the cross? When he was there and Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, he didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to change his clothes. He didn't have time to shave his face. He didn't have time to do any of that. All he had time to do was believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. Funny that the Bible says that's how you're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Sanctification is not a certain look. It's not a certain look. I think about people who struggle in these areas. And again, these are wonderful people. They mean right, and they think that this means sanctification. But let me tell you, if you are listening to me and you for any reason think that God loves you more, or you're more sanctified or set apart if you're wearing a certain clothes or not cutting your hair or you're shaving your hair or you're doing this or doing that, listen, if there's any inkling in your mind, if you're a young lady or a young man listening to me and you've been taught that somehow that makes you more right with God, I submit to you that that is just not biblical, and you need to take out your own Bible and read the Bible for yourself. Take out your own commentary, your own concordance, your own Greek and Hebrew lexicon. You need to take these things out yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Not Kevin on this show, not Pastor so-and-so. You need to study the Word of God. It's so, so important. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Sanctification is not a look. It's something that happens on the inside of you. Now, here's what some people will ask. They will ask and they will say things like, well, you know, doesn't the Bible talk about certain things like this? The Bible talks about women and their hair, and doesn't the Bible talk about it's a shame for a man to have long hair and all this other type of stuff? And we can get into that. At some point, I'll probably do a deep dive with you guys on some of those scriptures. And yes, I mean, there are some things that the scripture says, but you have to understand the context of what the scripture is saying. You have to understand the historical setting that they were in, the culture of that day, why things were said the way that they were said. It's very important that we understand that. And I'm going to balance this out. Don't get nervous. Those of you that think like, oh boy, he's off the rails. And what you mean to tell me that some of the things that I see people wearing, they should be wearing, and some of the stuff that I, no, that's not what I'm saying. Is there a time ever where God would convict somebody not to wear something or go someplace or watch something or do something? Absolutely. And I'm about to bring that balance to you right now. So now the question might be, well, does sanctification affect the clothes I wear, the TV I watch, TV shows I watch, the places that I go, things that I do? Does sanctification affect those things? And my answer to that is maybe. There are things that are going to happen in your life as you go through your own process of sanctification. The Bible talks about, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not somebody else's, your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That's very important. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. There might be, and I'll give you an example. Let me give you a couple of examples here of how sanctification could affect something on the outside. Say you are a man, because I've been picking on the women. I actually want to play you guys something, okay? I want to play this because while we're on this, I just want you to hear an example of a pastor, and I don't know this guy. He's a pastor of a church, and he's going off about beards and how beards are not of God. I want you to hear what this guy says, all right? Listen to this.
Apostolic churches today, you walk in some of them, there's more beards in there than there are out in the street. I'm going to tell you something. Facial hair is not apostolic. However you want to cut it, it's compromise. I don't care if your leader says you can wear a beard, honey. Beard's nothing more than pride. You're not going to be dipped in Holy Ghost oil and run around looking like the world. We don't need beards. We need more oil. We need more Joe Ashes. We need more people at an altar. We need more prayer rooms. We need more people digging into the things of God. You can look in the recipe of anointing. You'll never find beards, Brother Epley. You can look in the recipe of anointing. You're never going to find television. You can look in the recipe of anointing, and you're not going to find compromise. You can look in the recipe of anointing, and women are going to be covering their knees. You can look in the recipe of anointing, and men are still going to look like men, and women are still going to look like women. Somewhere, Joash, you better protect the oil.
Okay, you kind of get the gist of what's going on here. Now, some of the things that he said, believe it or not, were true or right. He said, we need to bring back altars. We need people seeking after God. We need, yes, absolutely. That's what we need. He said, men and women should dress appropriate to their genders and different things like that. Here's the problem. Yes, we should. Men shouldn't try to look like women and women shouldn't try to look like men. The Bible is very clear on that. But what does that mean? When you say that, what are you actually saying? Are you saying that women can't wear pants? Because that's not a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's, this is where, and so, and again, and I really wanted you to hear that because of the beard portion. Now, this is, that's how I grew up. That portion of that sermon right there was every, I went to church Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, which is great. Great. I wish I could go to church that much now. Oh, I don't know. But I should say I need church that much now. But that's what I heard every single time I went to church. But you have to ask yourself, is it biblical? Sounds good. Sounds fiery. Oh, man. You know? But is that what's going to bring revival? Really? That is it? Wearing the dresses and getting back to cutting your beards off. And he literally said the anointing of God is not in beards. Like, somehow that the beards have something to do with the anointing. Where would you find that in scripture? Stuff like that gets me fired up, guys, because it just, you've missed sanctification by 300 million light years. You're not even in the same stratosphere of what actual sanctification is. Think about it this way. You can be a man, and if a woman could wear a turtleneck up to her neck, she could wear a dress down to her toes. And if you're a man and you deal with lust, because lust is from the devil, it doesn't matter what she's wearing. You will find a way to lust. Why? Because lust is not satisfied.
because it's not real love. So the way that that person needs to get over that is that God actually does an inside work, not that the woman across the aisle from him at church is wearing something different. That's just not how it works. But yet we over the years have demonized women when really what we should have been doing is causing men to fall on their face before God, have accountability, go to therapy, whatever they need to do to make sure that they are allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify their eyes. But that's an inside work, folks. Women could not wear, they could wear bed sheets and men will still lust if they haven't allowed Christ to take that.
This is an inside work, guys. It's an inside work. And sometimes, oh, I said I was going to give you some practical examples. All right. I'll give you some practical examples real quick. We're going over, but understand we're going over for a reason today. This is going to be kind of a longer episode, but I really want you guys to get this. All right. But I'm almost done, but I want to get this last couple of points in because I think they're very important. Let me give you a practical example how sanctification could affect somebody on the outside, like their clothes they wear or something like that. Okay. Say you're a guy. I'm going to stop picking on the women. Say you're a guy. Say you are in the gym. You're very muscular, kind of like Kyle, you know, when you see him, just let him know I used him for an example. If you live in Michigan and you're listening. Oh, man. Oh, but say you're a guy and you're ripped. You're just shredded, right? You got a great body, whatever the case may be. But God knows that you are more concerned about your body and how you look to people than you are about your spiritual life and the things. You're just very carnal minded. You're very fleshly minded. You're very stuck on yourself. And, you know, a lot of times you go out with no shirt on, or you wear a really tight t-shirt because you're showing your muscles. And it's not because you just want to wear a t-shirt like that. You literally are doing it because you want people to see you, want people to notice you, you want to be, you know, all these things. So God might begin to work on your heart to say, you know what? You need to stop going out with your shirt off. You need to stop wearing shirts that are so tight. Now, it's not that the shirt is the problem. It's not that your physique is the problem. What the problem is your heart. It is the motive behind why you're doing what you're doing. The guy that's on the weight bench five sections down at the gym, he might not have that problem. So God might not have to work that in him. So you might see him in muscle shirts. You might see him in whatever, because that's not why he wears them. He just likes the way, you know, he's just like, oh, okay, that's a cool shirt. I thought I'd wear this today. But you on the other end are bound by it. You can't go out of the house without a shirt that makes you look a certain way. Or you're doing that when you're married and your wife is uncomfortable with it. And she's asking you, honey, can you just not like go outside looking, you know, looking like that all the time? I feel like that could be a stumbling block, whatever. Right. But, oh, no, I just want to do it anyway. Well, then you're not honoring your wife. And I'm not saying in a marriage you should be petty about things or stuff like that and controlling. I'm just saying there are reasons why God might want to sanctify your heart, because at the end of the day, God is more about your heart than he is about your physique. And if he knows that your physique is causing you to be in error, then he's going to talk to you about that. But you don't then get up and tell every man that they should be wearing certain shirts and they have to wear loose shirts all the time and all of that kind of stuff. Same thing with a woman. There might be a woman who, and I've met women like this, where they will not leave the house without their makeup on. And one of the reasons is they just don't have a lot of self-value. They look at themselves and say, you know, they don't think very highly of themselves. Now, God might work into that person and say, you know what? You should abstain from wearing makeup for the next 90 days or whatever the case may be, or they may feel like I need to fast makeup, right? Now, that's what that person should do. Because if they don't do that, then they are literally
thwarting or stunting their growth. It's not that makeup is bad, but it's where their heart is when they're wearing it. They're wearing it to cover up something that is not so good. They're covering up the fact that they don't see value in themselves. That's the thing. That's what I mean by it's an inside work. It's not an outside work. Sometimes it works its way on the outside, but again, that's not going to be for every woman. So we have to be very careful when we talk about these things. It's really important that we understand, and I'm not saying, look, there are things that we have to be careful with. Our mindset shouldn't be, well, how much can I get away with and still go to heaven? That's an awful mindset, right? There are going to be, and there are certain standard of things that no one, if you're a Christian, you should not be doing. There's just a certain moral standard. Yeah. Do I think you should go outside darn near naked? No. I don't care who you are. You have more dignity and self-respect. That's just not what we do. It's the same thing with other things. There are certain TV shows we should not watch as Christians. There are certain movies that we should not watch as Christians. Now, if you watch it anyway, are you going to go to hell because of it? No. But as Christians, we need to be careful. We need to fill our minds with good, just, wholesome things. But because God has convicted you about not watching this or not going here or doing this, doesn't mean that's what he's saying for everyone. There are just certain things I will not watch. Period. I don't care who watches it, what they're not going to happen. Because there are certain things with me, not because I'm so righteous, it's because I'm not righteous. Because I know what those things, it'll trigger certain things, and that's not something I want in my life. So in closing, I want to read you a portion of Romans chapter 14, and then we'll be done here. But I really want you to understand what's happening here. Because there are some people who feel, again, that they shouldn't do certain things. If that is you and you feel like God is specifically speaking to you about something, then you need to listen. But you don't then make it a doctrine. You don't then get up and tell everyone this is what needs to happen. No, that is between you and God. Now, listen to what it says here in Romans chapter 14. Well, I'm going to start at verse 1. Except him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on his opinions. Right? Now, this is, and you're going to hear Paul talk a lot about meat here because in that day, that was what was applicable to them. There was certain, you know, back in the under the law, they weren't supposed to eat certain meat. Certain animals were considered unclean. So when you hear him talking about meat and things being unclean, stuff like that, that's what he's talking about. What you have to understand is the Bible wasn't, I always say this, the Bible was not written to you, it's written for you. So you have to look at what in modern day, we can take the same things like clothes or TV shows or different things like that. You can take that and put that in place of this. So, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on his opinions. For one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not belittle the one who does not. The one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted him. Now, that's very important. Basically, what that scripture is saying, listen, if somebody is weak and they feel like that they can't do something, don't belittle them. Don't judge them. Just know that that's just not something that they feel comfortable doing. But on the flip side of that, if somebody says, hey, I've got the freedom in Christ, I really feel like this is something that I can do, don't then judge that person and say, well, you're just a carnal Christian. You're fleshly. You're this, you're that. No. That's, you allow God to deal with that. It says in verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards a certain day above the others, while someone else considers every day alike. Now, there are certain people, I've met, they're like, you know what? I don't celebrate Christmas. They'll say, you know, I don't celebrate Christmas. It's commercialized. It's not really about Jesus anymore. It's all about gifts and the hustle and the bustle and, you know, the whole Black Friday thing. I think it's just a scam. I mean, all kinds of things. Okay, that's fine. Don't celebrate it. But don't then go and make a denomination or rules around it and say, you know, this is what God is saying, because that's not what God is saying. That's what God is saying to you. And so somebody who says, well, I'm not going to celebrate this or that, if I feel like I should, I'm not going to go to that person and be like, well, we have freedom in Christ and you need to stop that. And that's legalism. No. It's legalism when they're doing it and they feel like that's going to make them closer to God or more right with God. And so you have to check your motives, because make sure, always check your heart, especially if you come out of these kind of churches, always check your heart to make sure. You know, some people that get out of these churches, they go way on the other end and start doing everything under the sun. And then other people, they come out of it and they're still legalistic. Verse 5, one person regards a certain day above the others while someone else considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a special day does so to the Lord. He who eats does so to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So whether they eat it or they didn't eat it, whether they do it or they don't do it, they're both doing it for God, right? Or they're doing it and giving thanks to God. Verse 7, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother? Or why do you belittle your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment. And then down just a little bit more here, he says, therefore, let us stop judging one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. And I'll say this really quick. Here's the thing, guys. One of the things that I think that we miss, I think sometimes we go, those of us that are not in legalism and bondage and all of that, we go way on the other side. And what we don't think about enough is, am I causing my brother or sister to stumble? And I would say, and I'll give you a practical example. You have a brother or a sister who is a recovering alcoholic. You and your wife, maybe you normally have a glass of wine with dinner. The Bible is very clear that you should not, you can drink, but you can't get drunk. That you should always be sober-minded, of a sound mind, all of that good stuff. Now, if you are a person who has a glass of wine with your meal, if your brother or sister who is recovering alcoholic comes over and you and your husband are having a glass of wine and you're like, well, I have freedom in Christ. I'm not going to stop drinking just because she has an issue or he has an issue. See, that right there, that's just not wisdom. That's not wise. And you could cause your brother or sister to stumble. Why? Because you are putting yourself before them. When the Bible wants you to defer to others. So if you know that you have somebody who is in your family, and a lot of you, and I can't really get into this as much as I would like to, because I'm already going long today, but you know, a lot of us, one of the ways that we do this, and we don't even think about it, is our children. We do a lot of stuff around our children, and we don't even think how it's affecting them. The TV shows we watch, the stuff that we do, the places that we go, whatever the case may be, because you've heard the old saying, it says, whatever you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. So you have to be very careful the things that you do, because a lot of times the weaker brother that the Bible is talking about, a lot of times that person is your children. So be careful. Verse 14 says, I am convinced and fully persuaded in the Lord that nothing is unclean in and of itself. That's important. Nothing is unclean in and of itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him, it is unclean. So basically what the Bible says is you feel convicted about something, obey that conviction. Don't go over that conviction, because for you, if you feel like, hey, I shouldn't watch this TV show, or I shouldn't wear that, or I shouldn't do that, it's not right. Well, for you, it's not. If your brother is distressed by what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good then to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For whoever serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to let his eating be a stumbling block. So I know, again, they're using food for example, because that makes sense of that day. But I would say, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of whatever it is. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to let his eating be a stumbling block. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything to cause your brother to stumble. And then it, verse 22 says, keep your belief about such matters between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but the one who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that is not from faith is sin. So what that scripture is basically saying is, if you are doing something and you can't do what you're doing in faith and feel good and right about it, that's a sin to you. You shouldn't do it anymore. That's a sin. Don't go over your conscience. There's a reason why that's happening. When we talk about the Fundamental Baptist and the UPCI and some of these other organizations that we've talked about, one of the things is, if somebody really truly feels, you know what, I shouldn't cut my hair or whatever the case may be, then don't do it. Just make sure that you don't feel like somehow you're more sanctified or you're more closer to God because you don't do that, because that's just false, right? And so, but on the other end, if you're that person, you can't look at other people, or you shouldn't look at other people and then say, well, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and I just think you're in sin and you need to come to the truth and all of this kind of stuff. You saw very clearly with Paul using the example of food, because that was more applicable to their day, that we should not be doing that. So listen, guys, I would love to continue to go on, but listen, I think you really understand it. This is the sixth episode on sanctification. It's been awesome. And if you have questions, anything like that, you've got comments, you want me to explain some things more to you, or you need to understand things a little bit more, or scripture broken down a little bit more, you might say, well, Kevin, well, what about this scripture? What about that scripture? I'll be more than happy to answer those questions. Give us a text or call, 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010. I'll be more than happy to engage in conversation with you. Leave us a voicemail or leave us a text. Any show topic suggestions, any of that, please do that as well. You can put that there, a prayer request if you need that. We'd love to pray with you. Leave that on the voicemail or the text. And of course, we're everywhere. Share this episode with people that you know that it could be a help to them. It could break them away from the bondage that they're in and bring them into freedom in Christ. And again, rate and review us wherever you listen, if that platform allows you to do that. We love you guys. We thank God so much for you. And we will see you next time. Love you.